T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Steve Rosenblum.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping. Apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake, come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know. You know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Welcome in. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody, Saturday Suckage. Just let me put a question mark right here. Why don't the Sox take any blame for giving the guy a glove after the netting incident? There you go. Come join us on Saturday Suckage today. Mark Grody, how are you?
I'm doing well. And you know what? Unfortunately, that's what it was going to take. Sometimes drastic situations lead to drastic decisions, and that's what it's going to be for Eloy Jimenez. Steve, I am doing great, and I do want to ask the audience the same question I asked you on Twitter. Well, I suppose that was to our audience. Is tonight's Bulls game at San Antonio the most anticipated of all time, with Nikola Vucevic being in uniform for the Chicago Bulls tonight? It begins.
It did. Well, it sort of began, the new thing begins. This has all been a part of a step plan. For me, this is the most anticipated game since Jim Boylan was fired, which began the anticipated repudiation of all things Garpax in this latest version of a rebuild. And the reason this is so significant, it's not just Acme, which is Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley. That's their being called Acme. This is not just Acme looking at this roster, these draft picks, this idea of a team, of a style of play, and saying, too bad, too soft, too injured, too really awful. And they evaluated and said, it's really simple. Get tough or get out, and then get better. Oh, my God. They went out and did something I never would have expected Garpax to do. I never would have expected the first-round draft picks to be sacrificed, because they were always about that. Oh, we're young. Young doesn't mean good. It just means young. Well, you have an all-star center to play with an all-star guard, and the all-star guard is the player who got a hell of a lot better. Zach LaVine got a hell of a lot better the day the trade was made. Don't you think? Or should we are looking forward to seeing. There's hope here, right? Is Mark still there? Did Mark go bye-bye? Trash Panda, help me. Am I still here?
Yeah, you're still here. I don't know where Mark went, though.
Where's Mark? Did he go? You know what? Mark's probably in front of us, in front of his TV now.
Oh, okay.
He's already lined up. He is anticipating that so much. And I love the idea that Zach LaVine let out a scream at home when he heard this is what we're doing. And they share the same agent. Vucevic and LaVine share the same agent and shared an all-star game and shared this all-star, this kind of 5-1 pick and roll. And is Mark back? Did you go away? Were you setting up your TV? We thought you were setting up. You just left the show. You were so excited about getting in front of the TV to see the Bulls game tonight, Mark.
No, I was so into what you were saying that I forgot that I was a co-host. I thought I was a listener. So I was just like turning up my radio and doing stuff around the house like I always do when I'm listening.
Hanging up and listening for your answer.
Yeah. Also, that was weird, man. I hope everybody's all right. But an Amber Alert just blasted. Did you hear that too?
Yes, I did. It was blasting in my ear as I got that. I go, oh my God! That's...
I also got that alert, but
well,
wow.
Of course, that's the whole idea.
I guess I'm the only one who couldn't take the pain because I just kind of dropped everything and shut down.
Well, my phone is also on silent, so there wasn't any big ring.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, no, it blew me
up. Mine is too, because there might be somebody calling me, and I don't want to deal with that. You know what was really significant? It just perfect timing and says what you need to know about how this front office looks at the last front office, how this front office wants its roster to be different from the last front office. Wendell Carter Jr., right? One of the proud many, wasn't he one of the run of the parade of number 7 draft picks? Whoever he was,
yep,
wherever he was.
He sure
Wendell
was.
Wendell Carter Jr., after the Bulls lost to the Cavaliers, said, quote, "From the get-go as a team, we underestimated them. We just thought we could show up and play just because of our record, of their record. That's the kind of vibe I was getting. Even in warm-ups, I'm like, man, come on. We're not one of the best teams in the league either. Soft and bad is no way to go through the NBA. So the guy who said that, who spoke it publicly, was part of the deal. You're out. Bye-bye. Don't even pack. That's how much we want you out of here. And that's the kind of mentality you had floating around that roster. And if anything, that was the most valuable message sent to the players who remain here, that you get tough or you get out.
Wendell Carter Jr. always, in his time with the Bulls, always had a habit of saying the right things. I remember when he was a rookie, and reading things from most of the Bulls beat reporters that Wendell Carter Jr. shows, like, this kid could be a leader. Like, he's a winner. He comes from Duke, and, you know, he really wants it. And I believe that he does, and maybe he will be. But for whatever reason, nothing translated onto the court for Wendell Carter Jr., and Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley made a fast decision on him, and I don't think it's that hard when you can get somebody like Nikola, you know, Vucevic. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, enough with this development crap. Everything we said, forget that. Everything we just said right there is bleep, as was said in My Cousin Vinny. By the way, I do need to make something very clear. I hate that I have to do this, but I'm going to do this based on a couple of tweets that I've gotten based on my tweet saying that this is the most anticipated Bulls game of all time. Yeah. Like this text message from the 773. Groats was cut off because he asked if this was the most anticipated Bulls game ever, and he was alive in the 90s Bulls. I had a similar one on Twitter as well. My goodness, folks, I'm being facetious. I didn't think I'd have to say that. This isn't even the most anticipated Bulls game in the last 10 years, okay? So,
right.
Look,
I was
being
sarcastic.
Yeah,
he was,
and
now you gotta
what do they say?
Up.
Like, if you have to explain your joke, then it probably wasn't very good. So I will wear that, Steve.
No, it was just, I think you made your point. I think everyone understood it. And then everybody's getting pedantic and And there you go.
They must be first-time listeners for this show because clearly
they don't understand. Yeah, Saturday
they don't understand
suckage.
The bit, you know.
Yeah,
the sarcastic suckage. Yeah. Yep.
We suck so you don't have to. If you would like to chime in on not getting it, our text number is 312-644-6767. The text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. If you'd like to be the one phone caller of the day, which is what we seem to average, or a little below, we have a war. We have a car, caller above replacement of less than one.
Oh, but we don't have a car. We don't have a car to give you. We don't want to do that again. Remember, we got in trouble the last time we gave away fake prizes.
But it's an acronym for callers above replacement. Ours is below one. That number is also 312-644-6767. Later on in the show, at 11:20, we will talk with Josh Nelson of Sox Machine, who did an emergency podcast in a tornado or while a volcano was erupting and didn't have enough dimes for the payphone. I don't know, something like that. None of which was as bad as the White Sox giving Eloy Jimenez a glove. And at noon, we will get back to this Bulls talk with Rick Camp, who hosts the Bulls postgame show. If they lose, is this still going to be the happiest postgame show? We'll ask that of Rick. But as we were talking, and at 1 o'clock, Eli Hershkovich on. So did you guys hug it out? Is that it?
We did.
He doesn't hate you anymore?
We got into a little text conversation, and I apologized for my rude behavior on the radio the last time I had him on. So I think we're cool. I think we're like, it's a mending process. We're good to go on air. I hope I didn't ruin our potential, you know, outside of the radio station friendship, which had just been starting to bud, and then I think I screwed it up.
Wait. What happened?
This marriage could be saved. I'm glad.
What did you do to Eli?
Well, Parkins and I was filling in for Matt Spiegel on the Parkins and Spiegel show, and we had a stupid idea to have Eli on and ask him no questions about college basketball in the middle of the NCAA tournament. And we did this. We did that. And Eli was just sort of like befuddled after. He was like, what the hell was that? And he was kind of mad, and I kind of understood it. And I admitted that I was wrong for some of the stupid questions I was asking him. And, usually I don't regret things like that that I do on the radio, like because they're just bits. But in this case, I did. I genuinely did because I like Eli, and I'm glad that he has hopefully forgiven me.
I think that a way you could have done this better is done like half the interview with asking real basketball questions and then be like, okay, we're done messing with you. Here's our actual questions. I think that would have played better.
Yeah, exactly. We never ended the bit. We let the bit go too far. We did it for like 20 minutes. At some point in time, we probably should have stopped it and been like, all right, we're just giving you crap. But we never did. We never did. So... yeah, I had to give it a genuine apology to him.
Well, I'm glad you guys were able to work it out. Love having Eli on. This time of year, he was just, and we did this last year, and he was masterful. He was making money all over the place, but he sounds so good. And on the betting shows, because if you listen, like Parkins and Eli are about the only ones who don't sound like Muppets. If you listen to the other guys, especially when I've listened... in the morning, and I texted this to Dustin William Rhodes and J.R.R. Tolkien. They sound like Muppets. All the guys they usually go to sound like Muppets, and then thank God Eli sounds like an adult. And Parkins does too. So they do that, and it's much better. I know Mark Malusis was on today with Nick Kostos, and that's an adult voice, and that's great. But oh my God, I'm thinking, this is really another world. And then I started imagining, what if the Muppets did betting TV? The Muppets take the MGM, or the Muppets, right?
Welcome to the gambling show.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Wouldn't
someone
be
needs
great
to pitch if... this.
It's like Animal. Yes. Here's Animal.
Yeah, right. And the grumpy old man up in the corner.
Get Cookie Monster in there.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh, right. I think that's a great idea waiting to happen, because you listen to some of these guys and they do sound like Muppets. I thought, oh, would this be great, Miss? Let's get some.
Oh yeah, Miss Peggy, she'd be great. I'm counting my money.
Yeah, right. So, anyways, Kermit the Lion's Maker or Kermit the Oz Maker. So you've got it all set up, and you could have a blue parlay monster. That's what you could have. And I just think it's a good possibility, since we have all of the betting experts sound like them anyways. At least we got a head start there. All right, we're going to take a break, and the laughter will stop, because now we're going to talk about Eloy Jimenez. Not Eli. We love Eli.
Eli.
We used to love Eloy, and then...
Do I owe Eloy an apology, too, or no? We're good. I think we're good.
No, you don't know. No. Wait. We're not apologizing. We suck so they don't have to.
I was one of the first people to talk to Eloy Jimenez when he came to the Cubs in spring training. I remember going up to him, and then a few other reporters followed me up there.
Right. So, by the way, that Les, 224 text, I have no idea if this happened. Maybe Trash Panda knows. The text line says, Les informed us yesterday morning that Wendell Carter Jr. and Otto Porter Jr. are not related. Did that really happen?
Because they're both their last names are Junior?
Yeah.
I can't confirm that. I worked his show Thursday morning, but not Friday morning. So
hey, look, if all the juniors are related, that is a large family tree in sports these days.
It is. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll discuss the misery. Because the Sox got worse, and we're talking about the Bulls, and Kevin Lankinen has been... Kevin Lankinen spends his entire season saying, "Not tonight, Satan." Which is unbelievable that it deodorizes the crappy scheme of Jeremy Colleton. Are we looking at it and the Cubs sending out their best second baseman because they want to do stupid business? Are we looking at, do the winter teams have a better chance of making the playoffs than the summer teams? We'll save that for later.
Okay.
Anyways, we will talk White Sox, Eloy, options, hope. Or no hope, or what kind of hope there is, with Josh Nelson of Sox Machine on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hopes deleted.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic!
Indeed. It's a perfect time to panic, and what would be more appropriate for Saturday's suckage than to talk about the White Sox allowing Eloy Jimenez to have a glove and Eloy Jimenez showing absolutely zero discipline or brains out in left field. It was the perfect storm of stupid, which leads to panic, which leads to Saturday suckage. Steve Rosenblum and Mark Rohde with you. And our guest from Sox Machine, Josh Nelson, taking time out from packing, moving, unpacking. He's moving to Bridgeport. Which is your day to play left field, Josh?
I thought you guys were going to come help me. That's what I thought this was about. I thought yes. Mark was going to bring his car over and we're going to get this done this afternoon.
Yeah, if we're not there, start without us. So anyways, this was whatever you saw, let's go back to when the injury first happened, or what the injury happened, and then like 12 hours later, we found out just how bad it was. What did you think? And thank you for not taking any lives in the making of this answer.
When I first saw the play, I thought, oh, this is silly. Like, I hope maybe he just pulled a muscle in your arm or in your shoulder and he's going to miss the rest of spring training, but he'll be ready to go on opening day. And then he collapsed to the ground and then the trainer came out and it's like, oh, this doesn't sound good. And then the Twitter doctors, the actual doctors on Twitter, watching it, were like, that could be like a shoulder dislocation. And I'm like, that's just fitting for Eloy. And then when the news broke, I think it was Jim Duquette of MLB Radio tweeted it out that it was a torn pec. He's going to be out 5 to 6 months. And then Rick Hahn confirmed as far as that rumor. It's devastating for Eloy because he's a young superstar that has only had one full season under his belt. This was a great opportunity for him to really launch into stardom, be one of the more exciting hitters in all of Major League Baseball. And I thought he had a great shot of hitting 40 home runs. That's not going to happen. And now it's just not a matter of can Eloy Jimenez return to the White Sox this season. But what about his power? You ruptured a tendon in your pectoral muscle. You need that muscle for power. Is this going to have a long-term effect on Eloy Jimenez? And there will be surrounding questions until he proves otherwise. So it's really unfortunate for the player. For the White Sox, when Adam Engel's out with a strained hamstring, there's your fourth outfielder. And now Eloy Jimenez is out 5 to 6 months. If you told me, Steve, that Billy Hamilton was going to make the 2021 Chicago White Sox roster in October, I would have said, you're out of your mind, Steve. But Billy Hamilton's going to make the roster, and that's where the White Sox are right now. They really could use some help as far as the 26-man roster, especially in the outfield. But I think at this moment, Rick Hahn's just going to see what he has internally before making a big decision on bringing somebody in from external resources, whether that's free agency or by trade.
Here's what I really don't like about it, and I know that the White Sox have a lot of offensive firepower to help to make up for what happened to Eloy Jimenez. Rick Hahn said as much, that if there was one area where the Sox could afford to quote-unquote lose a big-time bat, it would be with the hitters. However, one of the things that I liked about having a stacked White Sox lineup was that you could afford to put somebody in there like Andrew Vaughn and let him have the proverbial growing pains, because it was all good. And now Andrew Vaughn has to step up into a place, well, at least in my mind, where he has to perform, as opposed to before when it was like, it'd be great if he does, but we've got enough to make up for it. How much does Eloy, his absence in the lineup, how much do you think that is going to affect the White Sox offense this year?
80 runs. I think it hurts. If you look at the projected White Sox lineup, I thought they had a chance to score 850 runs this upcoming season. I would take 80 runs off it. I would say 770 runs, which then means if they want to make the postseason, it really falls on the pitching staff to perform, because they have to do a better job of preventing runs being scored. So this is where you're playing that run differential game, and everyone's going to be looking at the run differential stat as far as in the standings throughout the season for the White Sox. There's a number of ways that you can win in the game of baseball. You can be an offensive juggernaut and win a bunch of 6-5, 6-4 games, or you could be a team that wins a lot of 4-2, 3-2 games. And we have seen this formula worked. All you have to do is look to last year and to the Cleveland Indians. That lineup was terrible after you got through the first four hitters. But they still had the same record as the White Sox. They dominated the White Sox last year, and they made the postseason. And if the White Sox – I think that's the route the White Sox will have to take to get into the postseason, because I slightly disagree with Rick Hahn. While the offense is good, you don't have another 40-home run, 100-RBI guy off the bench, Rick. You don't have that guy. Like, if Nick Madrigal misses 5 to 6 months, yeah, you could withstand that type of injury because you still have enough offensive firepower – and you got options that could play second base. You don't have another Eloy Jimenez. And I agree with you, Mark, that, man, the amount of pressure that's on Andrew Vaughn. He has to be the primary DH. Now he has to play a position that he never played in college, left field. And we'll see how he does. And he's already saying the right things. If the ball is hit to left center field, it's Luis Roberts, not mine. Great call, Andrew. That is the right mentality. Let Luis Robert go get that ball. But now it's also pressure on Zach Collins. And I think it's time for Zach Collins to prove his mettle being a first-round pick. But the White Sox are asking for Andrew Vaughn and Zach Collins to make up some of the offensive void that's left with Eloy Jimenez being out of the lineup. We'll see. I don't think they're going to completely fill the void. I think they'll do a good job of filling the void. And we'll see on how defense goes in left field. But if things get awkward throughout the month of April, Mark, I just wonder how antsy Rick Hahn is going to be. Because even though Eloy Jimenez is not going to be available, the expectations for this team are not changing. They believe they can win the American League Central. They believe they can win the American League Pennant. We'll see how long Rick Hahn can sit on his hands with the situation in left field, because if it doesn't improve through April, if Andrew Vaughn is over his head, then I could see the White Sox trading some of their teenage prospects and trying to find a better solution, maybe a more permanent solution left field for this season.
Like Chris Bryant?
Well, what?
He's played left field before.
That's good.
Well, the thing with Chris Bryant and the Chicago Cubs is, what does Jed Hoyer believe he's got right now? I could honestly see him being like, I'm not answering any trade rumor questions until we get to Atlanta, the All-Star break. Where are the White Sox going to be? Can they wait that long? I think there are other options if you look to the American League West. I think there's some serious questions on what are the Texas Rangers doing, because they're kind of going through this mini rebuild, but they just open up a brand new stadium. And you got a lot of writers in Dallas saying, listen, you have a $44 million payroll. You open up a new stadium. You better be spending money next year. We're not going to, you know, come to your new stadium for a rebuild. Would they entertain trading Joey Gallo? I mean, that's one target. Another target, looking to Seattle, they have all of these really intriguing outfield prospects. Would they move Mitch Haniger? And you could put Haniger in left field. Those are the two trade targets that I think are pretty realistic. I'm not saying trading for Chris Bryant is unrealistic. I just don't have a clear understanding of what the Chicago Cubs are attempting to do going into 2021.
Join the club. Just take a number.
Yeah. Other than wait and see until where we are in the All-Star break. And then if they're not good at the All-Star break, sure, maybe the White Sox can acquire Bryant for the second half of the season and see where that takes them.
With the runs that you lobbed off due to Eloy's absence, Josh, do you still think the White Sox can win the division and win the pennant?
I don't know about that. Ask me after the July trade deadline. That New York Yankees team is getting healthy and they're strong. That lineup is scary dangerous. And if Jean-Charles Stanton and Aaron Judge can play every single day with Clint Frazier and DJ LeMahieu, I just go on and on and on. That lineup is scary good. So I don't think the White Sox are better than the Yankees. The Twins, I can't believe they optioned Alex Kirilloff, who is going to be their left fielder, down to the minors. So they're playing service time manipulation games. And Byron Buxton is no stranger to the injured list. And neither is Miguel Sano. So I think that the White Sox can win the American League Central still without Eloy Jimenez. But if you're asking me, can they be better than the Yankees as is? No. Unless the Yankees start getting injuries. And then, you know, that obviously changes the story. But as of right now, yes, I think the White Sox can win the American League Central. No, I don't think they can win the American League pennant as is.
We're talking with Josh Nelson of Sox Machine. He's on Twitter at Sox Machine underscore Josh. He's talking with us on the Score Hotline presented by Alpamonte Ford. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. So there's a couple things now about the way, as we've been discussing this, Josh, the way the White Sox can or plan or will or should win games. Mm-hmm. With the ball being softer, Rawlings has admitted they're loosening the wool in the baseballs in order to stop making golf balls, essentially.
So they say.
So they say. And at baseball's insistence. That does present a different kind of baseball, more contact baseball, more less reliant on the home run, on the three true outcome. I don't know if that affects them at all. I also always remembered something Steve Stone said about those great Oriole teams that he was and was not on, that their plan was this. If they lost a hitter and they couldn't get, even if they could get a platoon system, if they lost a hitter and they needed trouble, they needed help with the lineup, they went out and got themselves another pitcher and made themselves even better there. I don't know if any of that might or might not work in today's baseball, but those things come back to me. There's different ways to win games. Baseball seems to be stressing it. And there's a different way to approach losing a hitter by going the opposite way with an arm. What do you think?
I agree with you, Steve. I think this is where we have been. A lot of the conversation and tension has been, how are the White Sox going to make up for Eloy Jimenez not being in the lineup? They don't have another Eloy Jimenez. There's not another Eloy Jimenez in free agency. I don't think you're going to find another Eloy Jimenez in trade. Well, the way I look at it is, I think this puts a little bit more pressure on Dylan Cease and Carlos Rodon to perform. And if they can, if Carlos Rodon, who looks completely different this spring than he did last September, if they can carry over from spring training to good performances, and they can pitch as well as Giolito and Lynn and Keuchel, and man, this bullpen is lights out. If you have the lead and you get the ball to the bullpen in the sixth or seventh inning, I have a high level of confidence that the White Sox bullpen will take you the rest of the way home, and they're going to win games that way. It's just a matter of how well can you perform in the first 5 to 6 innings. And I think that's where a lot of the focus has to be on the run prevention side. Can the infield defense continue to improve with Mancada, Anderson, and Madrigal? Can Luis Robert still be able to play every day and provide that gold glove, even platinum glove type of defense in center field? And I think if they can keep their opposing runs allowed at 4.25 runs per game, they're going to be in great shape, Steve. However, if that doesn't happen and they're at the 4.7 or 4.8 runs allowed per game, then we could be talking about an 83-85 win White Sox team. And I don't think that's going to be enough wins to win the American League Central or make it in a 5-team playoff in the American League. So I know there's a lot of attention in how do the White Sox make up the loss offensively of Eloy Jimenez. But when it comes to wins and losses, I think the White Sox pitching staff, especially the starters, will have to carry more of the load. I think they can. That's why I'm confident still. The White Sox can win the American League Central. But it's that lineup in New York that that scares me right now and gives me hesitation to say, yeah, the White Sox should win the American League.
Josh, in your move to Bridgeport, is this a professional move or is this the bros pizza and beer style move?
You know, this is my girlfriend and I looked all over on the north side, and you get a lot more bang for your buck in Bridgeport. And we found a townhome that was built in 2016, and it fits us just perfectly. So that's why we moved to Bridgeport. You get a little bit more for your money down here.
Sure, a little more space.
Yeah, a little bit more space as well. Our dog has a little yard. So that's what that was about. And we have a rooftop, and I've been tweeting out pictures. I got downtown Chicago and Guaranteed Rate Field in my view. So you can't beat it.
That is perfect for you.
And apparently the weakness that is Chinatown within.
I know, man. That is
within
dangerous.
A Yoan Moncada home run distance, right?
Exactly. My Chinese takeout is going to increase by 200% moving down here. It's ridiculously good.
All right. Well, you have a car too, Chinese above replacement, and now you're looking at your arrow's pointing up. Josh, good luck on the move. And
thank you.
Good luck on your baseball team this year. We look forward to catching you in between apoplectic fits. Thanks again.
Sounds good, guys. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
See you, bud.
Josh Nelson, Sox Machine. And so that was I wasn't quite sure how emotional he would be. So it's taken some steam out. Like, it's settled. We're here. Sort of like the initial this. In some ways, it feels like the initial naming of La Russa. Like, oh my God, no! And then eventually, you talk to yourself back, right? You go, oh, it's kind of here. Now what? I don't really know how much. You know, you made a good point about it. So they say, Rawlings and Major League Baseball say that balls will be deader. I don't know what percentage. I don't know what that'll do to home runs to a team that is just going to keep slugging.
No, but there's why I don't understand why anybody would believe baseball. I mean, I know they said it, but baseball has been cheating its pitchers for years with the juice baseball. So I don't know why we all just the ball's going to be dead in it. We all just believe it like it's fact and it's truth. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. There's no way. Right. There's no way Major League Baseball is deadening the ball that much. There's no way. Why would they do that? Maybe not.
I don't know. But I wanted to, just because it plays into the possibility of another way to win a game. The problem with what the Sox have done is too much is that whole softball team mentality, but baseball has forced it, the three true outcomes. And if there's another way to do that, if there's more Nick Madrigal in other players than there is Eloy Jimenez, then maybe you've got a chance to do it. I think the pitching staff is huge, as we talked about with Josh. I just think that if Carlos Rodon, like Josh said, looks completely different, if Dylan Cease harnesses this thing, then, oh my God, 1-5, it may just take guy running into a mistake fastball. Otherwise, you look to go sign you're going to have to sign a DH who's just, you know, Edwin Encarnacion again or whatever. You're going to have to.
But asking Dylan Cease to be that guy, that's a big ask. It felt like there was still a long way for him to go. You think? I don't know.
He's supposed to be that guy.
I know, but he hasn't been.
That's why he was traded. That's why he was drafted. That's what he is.
It's great to fantasize about, but it's not like you could just snap your fingers and say, yep, this is the year for Dylan. Because everybody thought, I remember in the preseason last year, I remember Steve Stone and Jason Benetti talking about, or Stone mostly talking about, this guy is legit. And he had a dominating performance, and then he was up and down. So I don't know. There's no way to assume that Dylan Cease is going to be that guy. I hope he is, but I'm not there yet.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. There was some Cubs news overnight, and it's still percolating. And so I will run some questions by Mark Grody. He's on the other end of Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. It's just don't thank us. It's just a public service. It's why we were put on this earth. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Top of the hour, we will talk best news of the week. The Bulls, not your Garpax Bulls anymore. Lauri Markkanen remains the one vestige of the Garpax idea, and that will be cleared out soon, so the repudiation will be complete. We will talk with Rick Camp, host on the score of the Bulls postgame show, and co-host, co-collaborator of the just publicized I'm Fat podcast, and we have things to run by Rick on all fronts. But the Cubs are making news. Wow, that's Mark. That's our breaking phone call sounder. Comes earlier than usual in this show.
Wow.
Trash Panda?
Okay, well. Northside.
Our calls have to be explained. Here's why somebody called your show.
I want to explain why someone would bother calling this ridiculous show.
I understand, but, right.
All right, so no, it's a person calling themselves Northside Stu Gotts has some baseball predictions. I believe they're along the line of the Cubs. So, yeah, Northside Stu Gotts.
Well, that's great. Welcome in, Northside Stu Gotts. It's perfect that you have baseball predictions because we didn't ask for them. So why don't you just give them to us?
Stu Gotts.
Rosie, baby, listen to me, man. I love you. Love your show. Say hi to my old buddy, Brandon. He's a great kid. So I have got four bold predictions, and each one gets bolder as they progress. Number one, Zach Davies wins, assuming he stays healthy for the whole year, by the way, he wins 12 to 14 wins. It's 12 to 14. Now, that's not going to overwhelm everyone, but the point I want to make here is in 3 years with the Cubs, Yu Darvish won a grand total of 15 games. I'm predicting 12 to 14 from Zach. Prediction number two, Jock Peterson leads the team in home runs this year, and I've already got his home run call when he nails one. It's called a boom jackalaka. Okay. My next prediction, the Cubs, you know, a lot of people are going to disagree with me. I think they're going to win 87 to 88 games this year, and they will most likely win the Central. But by far and away, this is my biggest and boldest prediction I've probably ever made, and I've been on this planet for 51 years, okay? I predict that both Altuve and Bregman this year.
Waited on. At least he didn't have to wait in line for that. Thank you, Northside Stu Gotts, for
apparently
sharing.
He knows your son and Bruce Wolf.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there you go.
I do agree that Jock Peterson will hit the ball. I don't think that that's much of a bold prediction, actually. I think that, you know.
He's the Cubs' home run leader.
I think it's going to be between Rizzo and Peterson. And I would say Bryant, but I just don't know if he's going to be here the whole year. And unfortunately, you can't depend on him to be healthy. So, yeah, I think the way Peterson is striking the ball in the preseason and the fact that he's on a one-year prove-it deal with the Cubs. So, this is Peterson's one and only year with the Cubs. He'll be moving on next year, but I would agree with that. As far as the Zach Davies thing, I guess, I mean, 12 to 13 wins. I mean,
don't matter. Who cares?
Yeah. Right.
Wins.
I did a little bit of a
I know pitchers do and they have it in their contracts, but it's like, nobody looks at pitchers wins. But I think that when Chris Bryan could lead Chicago in home runs because he'll get traded to the Sox sometime during the season. And at that point, you'll still be there. You could say he led Chicago in home runs. I think he'll be the guy.
Ooh, that's good. You're on your game today, man.
So anyways, Russell Dorsey had tweeted this out as far as Cub news, sort of wrapping stuff up. The Cubs are indeed optioning second baseman Nico Hoerner to AAA, their alternate site. So even though he was their best second baseman, they don't want him to play second base, because they want him to have 36 days in the minors, except the minors don't start immediately. So, Nico, you were doing really well at second base. You're improving on the way you were swinging, your gold glove caliber. We don't want you to play second base. Hi, we're an idiot team that worries about 1 year of control, as opposed to the White Sox that just buy it all up. So this is the year, by the way, they worry about 1 year of control. The extra year of control they're worrying about with Chris Bryant. Here we are talking about trading him. So that's what the Cubs are doing with Nico Hoerner. So they're sending him down to AAA with a ground ball pitching staff, right? Isn't that it? A team that needs defense behind him?
Absolutely.
So a guy who is in the Gold Glove picture and will be for a while.
100.
Okay. He's going down because the Cubs need 36 days. Can we have a tag day for the Ricketts that they can't afford this? That I know there are baseball reasons for it. I think it's ridiculous if winning meant anything now. Get him up. Keep him
well,
up.
The problem I have with I don't care that they want to get the service time. It's not like Nico Hoerner is some sort of game changer or MVP candidate. Yeah, right. He's not Chris Bryant. What Chris Bryant was at the time. So I don't really care. The fact is though that they did say this would be a competition at second base, and Nico Hoerner won the second base competition over David Bodie and Eric Sogard, and if you'd like, Eldemaro Vargas, who always reminds me of the cab driver in Pulp Fiction, Esmeralda. But I know that's a deep dive. It was Nico Hoerner who won the gig. So don't have a second base competition if the competition is already rigged.
Well, the Cubs have been known to lie, and they just did. They're also optioning left-handed pitcher Brad Wick to AAA, the alternate site where there's no AAA games. Shelby Miller, Pedro Strop, and Rafael Ortega are assigned to minor league camp. Cameron Maben was granted his release. The roster now stands at 31.
Okay. Well, if the Cubs are competing at the end, guess who they'll bring back? Cameron Maben.
Well, I don't know. You know, I have no idea where he's going to be, what he's going to do. Maybe they'll get something from the White Sox in the trade for Chris Bryant. So I don't know what the Cubs seem to have a plan that's working across purposes. They just, whatever's convenient to say that day, which means truth is fluid. And we've seen that. I don't know how the Cubs are a better defensive team with Nico Hoerner in Schaumburg. I don't know. All right.
No,
we'll take a break. We come back. Speaking of better teams, that's what the Bulls are. We're going to get a look at them tonight. Mark is already in front of his television for that game against the Spurs in San Antonio. We will talk to Rick Camp, our Bulls post-game host, about what it means, what he's looking forward to, how great this whole thing is. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Saturday Suckage, thank you for your patronage. We've already had our one call for the day, so we got that out of the way.
It was a doozy.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.